He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so, His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power. Thank you for joining with the program. Once again today, we are talking about the last days. We're in 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 8th verse. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, of course, we're talking about Jesus Christ is who we're talking about. Boy, isn't that exciting? Now, let me read that again. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. The joy that you can't explain if you are trusting God. Once you begin to trust God, then and you begin to see things happen in your life, you can trust Him all the more. Your faith grows. That's the thing about faith, is it continues to grow as well. Faith is it comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. That means that you continuously speak and read and hear the Word of God, because then your faith can grow, and that includes your life, because then as your faith grows, you'll be able to step out even more for God, and your ministry that God has for you will grow and grow and grow. So God wants you to understand that as you step out for Him, that He will do other things. He says if you're going to be faithful in the little things, He'll be faithful in the bigger things. So all He wants you to do is trust Him, and then He will grow you as He sees fit. For you are receiving the goal of your faith. How much faith do you have? That's what He's talking about here. You're receiving the goal of your faith. So if you're only believing a little bit, you're going to get a little bit. You're going to get whatever that was that you were. What is the goal of your faith? Is your goal to reach millions, or is your goal to reach 10? Well, God's going to help you reach your goal. It's kind of like that old thing, if you aim for nothing, you're going to hit it every time. And so it's the same with your faith. How is your faith? How is it growing, and what is your goal? Have you ever even thought about having a goal for your faith? Maybe this is a new concept to some of you, and you've never even thought about having a goal for your faith. But God says that you are receiving the goal of your faith. So as you're reaching for that goal, that your faith will continue to grow. If you're praying to support a ministry with $10 this week, God will help you reach that goal. If you're praying to support a ministry with $100,000, God will help you with that goal. And so I'm going to challenge you, just kind of, if you don't have any money to give to His Gospel Power, just pray, God, give me some miracle money. Pray for some miracle money. But whatever you say about that miracle money, God, if you give me $1,000, I'm going to give half to His Gospel Power. Or if you give me $10,000, I'm going to give half to His Gospel Power. Or I'm going to give 20% to His Gospel Power. Whatever it is, whatever decision you have made between you and God, when you get the miracle money, make sure you do the miracle with it. Make sure that you honor your half of the goal. You're saying, God, if you'll just give me the miracle money, maybe if you say, God, if you'll give me this miracle money of $1,000, I'm going to give it all to His Gospel Power. Then you get the $1,000 and you got an unexpected bill comes in. What do? You honor your faith goal. And when you do that, then God will continue to bless you all the more. You'll get that bill paid. You'll get the electric bill paid. Don't worry about that. You're stepping out on faith. That miracle money is an awesome thing. As you step out on that awesome, awesome miracle money faith, God, in the name of Jesus, I pray you'll give me some miracle money so I can help other ministries. That's what you're going to do with the money. That's what the miracle money is for. It's not so you can buy your Rolls Royce. so you can build the ministries that God would have you to build. Brother Ron Stortle is in the studio once again. Brother Ron.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that miracle money, because I know we discussed a couple weeks ago on, I gave my story about how miracle money has affected my life. And the perfect example, and I believe God gave it to me as a testimony to be able to show the example. I had heard about miracle money, and I decided to test God because he says, do that. Test me, and I'll show myself true. So I told God, I said, God, I own my own business, which a lot of people know that have been listening. I told God, I said, if there's a $500 order that comes in, I'm going to give you all the money from that. I don't care about my profits. I don't care about my baseline. If I get a $500 order, I'm going to give it all to you. So God, literally the next day, I had an order come in for like $560. So I'm like, wow, obviously that was God because I don't get those every day. So as soon as the payment came in, I sent the $500, broke it up between the ministries that I support. And I said, God, you were faithful in this. I'm going to up it to $1,000 next time. If you give me $1,000, I don't care. And this time I said, I don't care where it comes from. I'll give you the $1,000. A couple weeks later, a check out of nowhere that literally should not have come to me because of the circumstances behind it came in for $2,600. So I believe that God does, he will test you also. You ask him to test him and he will test you. Initially, he gave me a little more than I requested. The second time he gave me a lot more and I was faithful with that. So me and my wife have decided, hey, if God's going to give us that much that quick, then let's test God. I mean, we didn't make up, our next one's not astronomical, but we upped it to a significant amount to the point that we don't know where that kind of amount would come from because we have nothing planned where we could get that. So if God brings it in, obviously we're going to know it's him. And I believe he gave me that story to be able to tell on the radio that he will give you your faith. However strong your faith is, he's going to reward that.
And where do you get that scripture from? Well, Malachi is a great example of it. It says Malachi, the third chapter, the sixth verse. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me. And of course, we're talking about repentance, okay? So that's what return to me is. And I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? And this is God's answer. In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, said the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Test me in this. This is actually one of the few scriptures that God actually says, test me, is with your money. So he's saying, look, hey, test me in this. If you don't have the money to support a certain ministry, that maybe some kids need to go to camp, and they can't go to camp, and you don't have the money, maybe you're sitting there, boy, I wish I had the money to send those kids to camp. You know what? God, in the name of Jesus, if you'll give me that money to send to camp, if you'll pay me that, I will give 100% to be able to send those kids to camp. You see, God wants to use us. He wants to bless us. That's why he, in every single thing that we do, he wants to bless us. It is his desire to bless us. And so we don't allow him to bless us because we're stingy with our money. We're stingy with our time. We're stingy with our reading of his word. We're stingy with our prayers. All of these things we withhold from God. Instead, he wants us to liberally give those things to him so that he might bless us in a way that we have never, ever expected.
And one of the limitations on, I believe, on Christians allowing God to bless them is the fact that we think there are limits on God and what he can bless us with. With money, you could ask God for $1 million to give to a ministry. And if you are that sincere about it and he deems it worthy, why wouldn't he? Money means nothing to him in the regards that he has a bank that he has to draw it from. If he wants to reward you with $1 million to give to a ministry that needs it, he could just make it so instantly. There's nothing that he has to draw from. There's no limit that he has. And I believe that's what happened with us. This money that came in, who knows where it or why it actually came in, but God just made it happen.
And here's the flip side of that. Again, we've already discussed this. We're going to say it again, though. Can you be trusted with $1 million? If you pray for $1 million to give to a ministry and $1 million comes to you, I mean, let's say you're making $50,000 a year. You've got a house payment. You've got a car payments. You're thinking about putting the kids in school. Now, and you pray, God, I pray I could get $1 million so I can give to such and such a ministry. And he does that. Now you've got $1 million before you and you're like, well, you know what? God wouldn't care if I use certain for this and certain for that and certain for the other. Now, and here's the reality is he wouldn't, but he will never trust you with that again.
Right.
Or it will take some time to gain that trust again, because then the reality is he's not going to strike you dead for not giving that money. The money in the book of Acts with Ananias and Sapphira, they were struck dead for not giving their land, not because they didn't give all of their land, but because they lied. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They tried to fool God. Why did sin fall on the earth? Not because Adam and Eve ate a piece of fruit. Well, how silly is that? No, it's not that. It's because they wanted to become like God. See, that's where Eve, when you read the scripture, it says that she saw that it was good for her knowledge. Basically, it was good to become like God. So, you know what? I think I'm going to go ahead and eat that. You see, the same with Moses. Why did Moses not to get to go in the promised land? Because he struck a rock and water came out? No, God told him to strike the rock. So wait a minute. So he didn't get to go in the promised land because he obeyed God? No, because when he stood to the rock, he announced to the people, must we strike this rock? He put himself on the same level as God. And then God could no longer trust him because to whom much is given, much is required. So if you pray for $1 million to give to a ministry, you make sure that you use all of that money to give just like you've been told, just like you have told God that you're going to give that money for God. Now I'm going to tell you one last thing and then we're going to drop this because this has turned into something more than I had thought, but I guess the Holy Spirit wants to talk about that. If you want to give $1 million to a ministry, then you need to pray for $1.3 million because you need to give the first fruits and you got to pay taxes. So, if you're going to give $1 million to a ministry and God gives you $1 million, well, you got to pay $333,000 at least of that to taxes. How are you going to come up with the other $333,000? Just work that out with God. My point is, allow God to see that you're trustworthy to give this money just like you've told him that you would do so. Let's continue with our scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that has come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that they have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. You realize what that means? These people that were speaking and suffering, these prophets and all of these that were speaking and suffering, were not suffering for themselves. They were suffering for God, knowing that you would be the benefactor, knowing that by doing what they did, this word would come out in this Bible. and that as we speak these words, that we are not the benefactor, you are the benefactor as we speak the words. As you speak the words to others, they are the benefactor. But the cool part about God is we're the benefactors as well, because then he blesses us because we're obedient to his word. It's just exactly like the money. It's exactly like speaking the word. It's whatever. It's exactly like your time, what you want to do for God. As you pray and he trusts you, and as you do things, he begins to trust you all the more, you're able to do all the more for God.
And once we spread the word, friends encourage each other. If you were the only person out there preaching the gospel and no one got saved, who is there to encourage you? So once people become saved, they can encourage each other, which makes each of them feel better about what they're doing, and it encourages them to go out and do more. So it's good when people get saved and we keep those friends around us to help encourage us. If you're out playing sports and you do something good and no one cheers for you, I know, especially for my children, they kind of look around like, did I really do something good or did I miss something here? So those that are like-minded, helping to encourage each other, it's an exponential effect here on the world about preaching the gospel, just like it is in every other aspect of our lives. So that's why we need to keep doing it, so that we stay encouraged and to encourage others.
And continuing that scripture, finishing that part of that phrase, even angels look into these things. Even angels long to look into these things. So angels long for this, that we are actually given. That the angels are messengers, but we are messengers of the gospel each and every day. And so angels can only go to certain spots that God has told them they can go. We can go everywhere. Do you realize you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ? That you have the power to spread the gospel around the world? And even angels do not have that power. We have that power given to us because of the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, therefore, prepare your minds for action. You get that? Not prepare your minds to sit on the couch. Not prepare your minds to go somewhere and do something once a week. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds. Get ready. Begin to study more. You should be, I said it already in one of the previous days, that you should be ready to be a leader. It really, in very little time, because you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Now, it's better that you would continue to learn, and in most cases, I say, to learn for about 3 years. In fact, that's scriptural, because it seems like it's always 3 years. You know, Jesus' ministry was 3 years. He was preparing the disciples for ministry, right? And it was 3 years. Paul said he went and was taught by Jesus for 3 years. So 3 years seems to be a good, steady way that we should learn about Jesus. And so as we wait and as we learn and as we study for that 3 years, we should be preparing. Now, after that 3 years, you should be ready to spread the gospel of Jesus. Be ready for action. And how do you do that? Be self-controlled. That's how. You got to be self-controlled to read the word. You got to be self-controlled to pray. You got to be self-controlled to prepare your mind. You can't just continue to do things that you've always done and expect something different to happen. You've got to do what God has told you to do so that you can expect something different, a different situation in your life.
Well, if you look at time frames as far as preparing yourself to be a disciple, even now, most churches and study guides, it takes an entire year just to read the Bible. So if you think about just taking a full year just to read the Bible and then actually going back and studying it, maybe not to the extent we are here where we just can cover a couple verses a day, But to start breaking it down, yeah, it does take years and years to even understand the context of the Bible and to understand where the different writers were coming from, where Jesus was coming from and God and the things that they said. So yeah, it's not something where you just get saved, know a few verses and can go out there and start. You can start ministering because you have the knowledge of salvation. So you can start doing that. But to become an actual teacher of the word, it does take years just to even understand where scripture is coming from.
That's exactly right. And so I think that as you prepare your ministry, that to prepare to minister, actually, as a Christian, that is your goal. You should be preparing to minister. Really, what the pastor's job is to prepare you to minister the gospel. That's really his job. His job is not to do all the work, even though many have messed up and have said that's what their job is. Y'all can just sit back. I'm the professional. You know, I'll do all the work. Well, that's not scriptural. The scripture is that we should prepare you to do the ministry. Now, that's not to say as pastors that we shouldn't do anything either. But I'm going to promise you right now, that's not the truth. That's not what's happening. Pastors are working. But if you're not willing to be self-controlled, if you're not willing to prepare your mind for action, which means if you're preparing your mind for action, that means eventually you're going to have to go into action. If you're not willing to go into action, then you're not being obedient to God. You're not listening to what God has told you that he wants you to do, which is to spring into action and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And this is where a lot of churches have failed, and I'm just going to call it out. They're lazy. They think, like you said, that the pastor is the one that has to do all the work. Now, why do you think he only preaches, and I'll put it simply, one day a week? Some churches are two, three. But if he was the one that had to be doing all the work, shouldn't there be church service every day so that everybody can be fed every day? And that's exactly where a lot of churches have gotten to, where they think, well, I'm going to go to church. Pastor's going to tell me what I need to know. And then I'll just, we'll call it a week. No, that's the purpose is for you to learn from the pastor on whichever day of the week or however many days. And the rest of the week, your calling is to go out and you be the disciple to the world. Yes, he can be the disciple to the world through different ministries, but it is not his job to go out and do something that every member of the church should be doing at the same time. That is how the church of God grows, and that's how your local church grows. He can't go out and preach to everybody. He can't go out and grow the local church all by himself. There's a reason there's one pastor and however many members of the church. If it was the other way around, there would be 100 pastors and one member of the church. But there's a way that God set it up that there's one head and a lot of branches. Those branches are supposed to go out and bring in the unsaved so that he can minister to them, and then they take the next step.
And of course, you broached that subject about the teaching. I'm going to tell you, make sure that before you just jump out there to teach, that you are called to being a teacher. James 3:1 says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." So, I mean, you're going to be judged harder if you're a teacher. Now, that's not to say, that's not letting you off the hook, however, to spread the gospel. That's not the same as teaching, but it is the same. If you desire to teach, then you need to make sure that you are called to teach, and you're not doing it just because it makes you look good or gives you status in the church or whatever. That is exactly the wrong motive. That is not what God has told you that you need to do.
And there's a good way to go about that. You know what salvation is and what God has done in your life. No one expects everybody to know everything about the Bible, but a good way to go about it is if you are a disciple and you break the ice with somebody as an unbeliever, then bring them to a teacher. If they have questions, bring them to a teacher in the church that can answer those questions for them. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It's the same concept with any leader in any organization. They're not going to know everything, but it's how you find the answer that matters. So if they have a question about Christianity or your beliefs, it's not wrong to say, well, I don't know the specifics of that, but I know somebody that does. Would you like to go find out so we can get this answered? There's nothing wrong with that at all.
And of course, there's also that part in Matthew 28, 18 through 20 that talks about making disciples. And so, part of making disciples might be, if there's questions, well, let's just sit down and search the Bible together. Let's take a look at this together, and we nurture each other as the Word reveals to us the meaning of this and where we can find this. And then, of course, if you can't seem to find it or whatever, the same exact thing, then you go, you ask for some help, which helps you to grow more, which also teaches that disciple that you are making that there are more ways. You don't have to have all the answers yourself. And there's also that power of the Holy Spirit within you that you can pray to God, God, please take me to the scripture that will answer this question, and He will do it. I have seen it hundreds of times in my life where God will guide me to that scripture that I'm looking for the answer, and it's amazing. We serve an amazing, powerful God. We discount Him. We shortchange Him. We take advantage of Him, but we serve an amazing, powerful God who wants us to succeed. He wants to please us. He wants to love us, okay? But He is not our genie in the bottle. That's not how He pleases us. He pleases us by praising Him because He knows that He is the best for us.
And there's another thing that I like to do, and some people might argue with this, but I fully believe in the power of discernment with the Holy Spirit. And reading a paper Bible, I fully believe that the Holy Spirit can guide you to the knowledge that you need. But one thing with technology these days, you can search the internet for answers to what you need. Now, you have to have discernment there. And one thing I do when I'm searching for answers, I will search different commentaries or different pastors' sermons on what I'm looking for. But the Holy Spirit gives me discernment on if I'm reading something and it doesn't feel right, I go to another one. And with the Holy Spirit, I'll find the one that I feel is correct. So with technology, don't always take the first thing you see, but trust the Holy Spirit to give you discernment to find what you need to. But there's nothing wrong with using technology, the internet, other pastors' sermons or commentaries on things to find the answer that you need. You can fully do that. You don't have to just wait for the Holy Spirit to give you a discernment out of the Bible. There are resources out there, and He has no problem with you using those. If He expected every person to learn the Bible from scratch, then we would all be in the same boat every time. That's the reason we have teachers. Some of those teachers put their stuff on the internet for us to find. That's perfectly fine. Sometimes God wants us to see it firsthand so that we have that extra knowledge that it really is from Him, so we're not taking someone else's word for it. So use the resources that you have, but make sure you're using the discernment of the Holy Spirit to make sure that what you find is correct.
And now, as we continue in the scripture, we come full circle because we've already been talking about, really, we kind of started with expelling the wicked from among you. And now we get back to this scripture again, after talking about all of those things, be self-controlled, have action, be ready, fully grace given you with Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Those evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance, you didn't know Jesus Christ. You didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. You did these evil things, but now that you have come to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, now your life should be changed. Now you should be living in the power of the Holy Spirit, allowing God to guide you and overcoming those evil desires that you had. That doesn't mean that you're not going to still have those. Your flesh, you're still living in this flesh. And so you're going to have desires that are going to be evil, that are going to come, that you are going to try, that are going to try to take over. In fact, Satan is going to, he's going to feed those evil desires. He's going to feed your flesh. He wants you to stumble. He wants you to fall. He wants you to think you made a mistake, because then you're neutralized for Christ, and you cannot spread the gospel of Jesus Christ once you're neutralized for that period of time. That's that battle he's winning until you overcome whatever that desire, that evil, evil that comes on you, until you repent of that, get back with the close proximity of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that then you can become productive again in the kingdom of God. We're out of time for today, but we're going to continue this tomorrow. And so until tomorrow, I pray you receive his gospel power today.
My life was flying by. I always wondered why I was so empty deep within. But then you came to me and let my spirit see, and you forgave me of my sin. I ran with all my heart and soul, but faithful you would be. Your love you showed to me. You gave me life and made me whole. I live again today. Your love has shown. I love you.